Bruchim habayim to Parsha Insights, Parshas Balak. The Shira said, L'zecher nishmas u'le'ili nishmas. Rebecca bas Serina Eliyon ben Rachel, may their neshama tahiras have a lichtig, Gan Eden. I'm grateful to all those who this week we find ourselves in Gan Ariel, those who are listening live, and those who will Bezus Hashem hear it when it's sent out. Let's get chizuk from the parasha, from the lessons, and let it enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Please share these ideas with others on Shabbos, bringing added beauty to our Shabbos Kodesh. Wonderful to be able to welcome everybody to Parsha Insights, Parsha's Balak. We're pretty much going to focus on one pasuk. If you go through Parsha's Balak, there's so very much to talk about. It seems like every time that Bilam, who was hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse B'nai Yisrael, we don't even want to say that as a sentence, but each of them came out as a bracha for us, and each of those brachas we could give an entire shir on, but I'd like to focus on just one. Take a look, the pasuk tells us a few psukim into Chamishi. Herek Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Aleph, Chav Gimel, Chav Aleph. Literally, the translation means, and this was the second bracha of Bilam. He perceived no iniquity in Yaakov. Here, Onkelos says that Bilam was talking about himself. He tried to find iniquities that would justify a curse, but he didn't find any. Rashi says that even when Klal Yisrael sins, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses not to scrutinize the sins for the full extent of their shortcomings. Lehibit oven b'Yaakov will go with that pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu perceives no iniquity in Yaakov, v'leira'amu b'Yisrael. Nor, as it's translated here, does he see any perversity in Klal Yisrael. It is this one of the second brachos of Bilam that I'd like to dedicate this year to two or three different pshatim. One is a pshat that we referenced a couple weeks ago, and it's certainly worth repeating. It's such a powerful explanation. It's actually based on a muscle of the Duvna Magid. And I believe I remember hearing, as we said a few weeks ago, that the Meshech Chochma, the great Reb Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochma, said about the Pshat and the muscle, the parable of the Duvna Magid that we're about to mention, I believe it was said in three places, and this was one of the three, this was said Beruach HaKodesh. Do you understand the profundity and magnitude of those words being told, that this mashal and this explanation of the pasuk was said beruach hakodesh? What's the pshat and what's the mashal from the Duvna Magid? Something spectacular. Imagine, if you will, a person checks into a hotel and he leaves his luggage, the valise, with the concierge, and somebody's going to bring it up in 20 minutes. The fellow goes to his room. 20 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. The person who brought it up, the door is open, and he sees that the one who brought up his suitcase, his luggage, is so out of breath, he literally is huffing and panting. He could barely catch his breath. And that fellow blurts out to the owner of the suitcase, "What do you have in here, boulders? It was so impossible to carry. Was this boulders?" And horrified, the man responds, "Boulders? You must have taken the wrong suitcase. My suitcase had diamonds." Nobody would be out of breath and feel that way about carrying diamonds. He was literally horrified. "You must have taken the wrong suitcase. Mine didn't have boulders. Mine wouldn't do that to a person. Mine had diamonds." And the Duvna Magid uses that to explain our relationship with daily life and serving Hashem. Yes, of course there are trials and tribulations, and there are challenges. But how do we view all of those dvarim that we have in our life? Do we view them indeed as boulders, something impossible then we took the wrong suitcase. In other words, when it comes to our Avodas Hashem, our approach to tefillah, our approach to Torah, our approach to mitzvahs, it must be one that we view as diamonds and not chalila boulders. And that's the way the Duvna Magid read it into the pasuk. Please look inside as I read this pasuk again, but in such extraordinary way. Keep in mind that when I read it this time, the word amel is going to be translated from the word amelus. And I don't mean amelus in a positive sense, like when someone is amel in Torah, but rather amelus as if a person's viewing something as a burden. Listen to how the Duvna Magid reads the pasuk. Lo'hibit amen b'yachayv. Hashem did not find with Yaakov, with Klal Yisrael, any oven, any iniquity. He didn't view us to have sin. Why? Why were we considered pure in the eyes of Hashem? Because Lo'ira Amal B'Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael did not view his Avodah as an Amel, as something funereal, as something cumbersome, as something difficult, as a package of boulders. What an incredible way, based on that muscle, to translate the pasuk. And as we said already twice, it was said about this, that it was said, Beruach HaKodesh, Lehibit Oven BeYaakov, Hashem did not find sin and iniquity with Yaakov, a reference to Bnei Yisrael. In other words, he found us meritorious. Why? Why? Because Leira Omel BeYisrael, which means that when Klal Yisrael did his service, Loira Amo, they didn't perceive it as an Amo, as a burden, as a difficulty. I want to repeat what I said a moment ago. Of course, in our Avodas Hashem, there are challenges, but how do we view them? As diamonds or as boulders? When it comes to leading a life of Torah. And there are many, countless do's and don'ts we must follow meticulously the Dalai Chalpi Shulchan Aruch. So there are challenges and there are different trials and tribulations, but in our Avodah, in keeping the Dalai Chalpi Shulchan Aruch, do we view it chalila as boulders or correctly as diamonds? When our attitude is loira amo b'Yisrael, that we don't view it as a difficult, a malus like boulders, then the reward is, the blessing is, lehibit oven b'yakov. I once wanted to say that that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah says, heveratz l'mitzvah kalo, which literally means, you should run to do an easy mitzvah. And the explanation is, we don't know which mitzvah is easy, which is hard. We don't know the reward of different mitzvahs. I once thought perhaps we could take those four words, heveratz l'mitzvah kala, and punctuate it a bit differently, where we put the comma after the third word. Don't read it as four run-on words, but rather three, pause, and then the fourth word. And maybe we're also being taught, heveratz l'mitzvah. When you run to do a mitzvah, when you run to do something in Avodas Hashem, kala, may you merit that you view it as light and easy. May you merit to view it as diamonds and not chalila, as boulders. May we taka b'zoicha. And that's the blessing for us. Have a rutzla mitzvah. That we want to run to do a mitzvah, we want to run to do Avodas Hashem, sometimes when something is difficult, but let us be zeicha that our approach, kala, we feel that it's light, we feel that it's easy, we feel that it's enjoyable. How many times have we said the importance of instilling our Avodas Hashem with a sense and a feeling of geschmack, of enjoyment, especially because our children are watching. And how critically important it is that, yes, different times when there are difficulties or there might be a mitzvah or a situation that can be perceived as hard, but we try our hardest to give off the aura of being geschmack, that it's ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, I can do something as if it is a diamond. We should always give off that approach. I'm running to do a mitzvah, kala. And indeed, it's a light thing in the sense that we find it to be geschmack. I'd like at this point to add a very important nekuda that somebody just shared with me this week, that he remembers from over 30 years ago, a pshat, the vart that my father, Zatzal, Rav Mordechai Shapiro, said, on this parsha, on this concept, is actually based on a pasuk that's found in Sefer Devarim, Parshat Ki Tsetse. And I think it's such an important segue from what we just explained. Your avoda should be happy. Your avoda should be geshmak. Your avoda should be instilled with an enthusiasm. And I believe I mentioned that it bears repeating. Our children are watching. Allow me to explain what my father's Zatzal says. And as I told you a moment ago, somebody said, he remembers my father saying it over 30 years ago. It is such an incredible, incredible pshat. If you turn at some point to Parshas Ki Tsetse, there the pasuk tells us, I'll quickly quote, you don't have to turn, but look it up later, Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, Lo Yovei Amayni O Mayovi Bekal Hashem, a man from Mayav is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl of Bas Yisrael. Gam Dor Asiri Lo Yovei Lohem Bekal Hashem, Aroyo, never, ever, ever, why? Others are allowed to marry back in after three generations, four generations. What was it that Amon and Moav did? And of course, we're mentioning this in reference to Parshas Balak because Balak was the king of Moav. And this pasuk tells us so powerfully that Lo Yavai Lahem Bekal Hashem Ad Olam. Why? What did they do? The pasuk goes on to tell us the psukim. There were two things that they did that were entirely unacceptable. Number one, and I think we're all familiar with these psukim. Number one, Asher lekid moyeschem alechem of amayim b'derech b'seischem b'mitzrayim. When you left Mitzrayim, they did not greet you with bread and water on the road, and you needed it, and they didn't. That was the first thing, so to speak, that's unconscionable and abhorrent. And number two, Vasher socher alechas bilam ben ba'or, Balak, the king of Moav, hired Bilam to curse, as we see in this week's Parsha, Balak b'nei Yisrael. And it is for those two reasons that Ad Olam, forever, a man from Moav is not allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. My father Zatzal wondered about the juxtaposition or the mentioning of these two reasons. Let's analyze for a moment the first one. You left Mitzrayim and they didn't greet you on the road with bread and water. Now, it's certainly true that we were starving. I could have used it. But isn't it entirely plausible that they had an excuse? They didn't have the funds. If a person doesn't have the money or the means to go ahead and serve hundreds of thousands of people bread and water, they don't have that kind of money. So if they don't have that kind of money, they don't have the means to give you a soda and a croissant or a pita and a drink, wherein lies the fault? But then the next pasuk tells us, we find they hired Bilam to go ahead. And we know that they used an extraordinary amount of money to hire Bilam. So you do have the money. You do have the money. If you do have the money and you do have the means, and you have the financial ability, then why didn't you use it to go ahead and give them bread and water, treat them to the soda, treat them to the croissant, to the pizza, whatever it is? Now that incongruity is something that's unacceptable. Ah, is that a pshat? Somebody told me that my father's Zatzal, as I said this decades ago, and Imamish remembers it like it would have been yesterday. In and of itself, the fact that they didn't greet you, as I said already, maybe they didn't have the funds. Economically, they were going through a difficult time. But what did you just tell me now? They hired Bilam, and they paid an exorbitant sum. That means they had the money. The economy was booming, and they had the financial means. You hired for that, but you didn't use it to go ahead and to give them sustenance and provisions when they so desperately needed it? That's unconscionable. That's abhorrent. That incongruity is unacceptable. Ad Olam, forever they cannot marry one of the Bas Yisrael. And I think that brings us back to the pshat we said, like Hibit Avin B'Yakov Elei Rabban B'Yisrael. We have to make sure that in our Avodas Hashem, I'm sorry, it's such a strong lesson, but I feel it has to be said, that we don't give off being incongruous either. What is it that our families would say, give us the geschmack, give us the excitement? We have to make sure that it's for Avodas Hashem. Oh, you do have the ability to be happy. You do have the ability to get incredibly, incredibly excited, over the moon excited. What's making you so happy? Something of Gashmias? Or having just purchased something new, whatever it might be? You come up with your own examples? Or that you just made a siyum on a mesechta? You just had a fabulous Shabbos Suda. You just invited Archim or one of the Gedali Yisrael into your home. What is it that's giving you that geschmack and that excitement? Because if you do have the ability to have that zrizus, that alacrity, that service, then make sure it's channeled in the right direction. Because clearly you see, by juxtaposing the two things of Bilam, of Balak, I should say, that incongruity is entirely unacceptable and abhorrent, so much so lo yavo b'kal Hashem ad olam. I'm sure we could think of countless examples. Perhaps a person is in shul, I'm not mentioning these examples for any reason other than I think that they may happen from time to time. Somebody is in shul, and they're so incredibly medactic and exact on the time. They're watching the clock. Maybe this bal tefillah they feel went too long, or davening is taking too long, or whatever it is. When the person's involved in something else, maybe a sporting game or an event or whatever it is, or they're also that medactic? They're also that exacting? Or there it goes over, there it goes over. What's the example? What's the lesson that we're showing our children? You do have the ability. As it went over, so there you're fine. That thing of whatever the Gashmius was, the event, whatever it was, you know what difference does it make? Went over, more time, more time, more time. But now, for a sheer, or for davening, or for something, now you're going to get so medactic. No, look at the time. Don't do that. That's terrible. And it's like that with every one of the dvarim in our Avodas Hashem. And that's why I think that the vort of my father's atzal is so apropos to creating this feeling of leira amo b'Yisrael. We can't convey to ourselves or others that it's something of a boulder, but rather it has to be something of diamonds. With challenges, yes. But that we use our koichis, we use our finances, we use our geschmack, we use our capabilities and our tchunais, l'avodas Hashem. You have them? You have them? Then make sure that they're channeled correctly. Otherwise it becomes as unconscionable and as abhorrent and as unacceptable as what Balak did. But Baruch Hashem, we do have the geschmack, we do have the ability. Make sure then that for ourselves and others is channeled in the right direction. I'd like to share with you now another pshat on the same pasuk, an entirely different approach, but I feel that it's something that has to be mentioned as well. The same pasuk, back to the pasuk after Chamishi, Lehibit Oven B'Yakov V'Leira Amo B'Yisrael. Somebody shared with me a beautiful pshat. I'll tell it to you, and then I'll just add a little bit of a knesh, how I understood it. Lehibit Oven B'Yakov, please open up your hearts to this pshat. Yaakov, as opposed to Yisrael, always represents, so to speak, the simple Jew, if you will, the Hamoinam, whereas Yisrael represents the much higher level, the Tzadikim Ar Gedolim. With that in mind, there's one other way to read this pasuk. Lehibit Oven B'Yakov, Hashem does not find fault with Yaakov, which means with Klal Yisrael, us, the Hamayinam, regular Jew, if you will. I don't mean that any person is simple by any means. I meant as opposed to a gogol or someone of the aid of the leaders, lehibit oven b'yakov, he does not find fault with us, b'nei Yaakov. Why and when? Le'ro omo b'Yisrael, because our tzaddikim, our Yisrael, our gedolim, they are so pure, le'ro omo b'Yisrael. In other words, it is in the schus of our Eine Ha'eda, our gedolim, our tzaddikim, that we merit lehibit oven b'yakov, which is basically asking us, how much do we value and appreciate our gedolim, our leaders, our tzaddikim, our Eine Ha'eda? Do you know the shmira that they bring to Klal Yisrael? Do you know the schusim that they bring to Klal Yisrael? Lehibit oven b'yakov. Hashem does not find sin and iniquity with Yaakov, a reference to Am Yisrael. Why not? Because Leiro Amo Yisrael. Because our Yisrael, our Gedolim, our Tzadikim, they are so pure, and it is in their merit and their push that brings incredible Shmira to Klal Yisrael. Oh, how we better make sure that we have the proper reverence, awe, respect, kavod for our Eine Ha'eda, our gedolim, our leaders. Do we realize how much their schusim brings us? How much shmira they bring us? This is real, Rabbi Yisai. This is tangible. Lehibit oven b'yakov, we are able to have schusim be successful and Hashem to find us without any sin and iniquity because le'ro amo b'yisrael, because of our Yisrael, because of our gedolim, because of our tzaddikim and Eine Ha'eda. No? So how do you speak about them? How do you treat them? Might I, for a moment, I told you I had a little bit of a knetch that I wanted to add, that I'm not referring to anyone specifically or to anything specifically. It's something that must be spoken about. Before I add a little bit of a knetch, let me tell you a pshat in the first pasuk in Megillas Rus. Vayehi bimei shvoit ha-shoiftim. It wasn't the days when the judge had judged. I believe it's a pshat from Rav David Feinstein that I'm about to mention. Vayehi is always a lashon of tsar. Vayehi is a lashon of woe. What's the vayehi? The pasuk seems to be just stating a simple fact. Vayehi bimei shvoit ha-shoiftim. It wasn't the days that the judges judged. Did you hear any vayehi, any woe in those words? Because those words could also be understood as, do you want to know what the vayehi is? Do you want to know what the tsar and the oy vavoy 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 is? Bimei shvoit ha-shoitim could also be translated as, it was in the days that the judges were judged. We thought we could judge the judges. We thought we could critique them. We thought we could speak about them. Did you hear that tsar? Did you hear what that one said? Did you hear? All of a sudden, we became people. We, Yaakov, became people who could now start critiquing the Yisrael. And we all of a sudden became someone that we judged our judges. We judged our leaders. We started to, as Yaakov, to speak about Yisrael. Oy, vavoy, vavoy, vavoy. That's Taka Vayehi. Not only don't we appreciate and revere and realize what it means that Kayin Banu Chachmei Yisrael, our Gedolim, our leaders, but we're starting to judge the judges, oy vavoy is that of Ayahi. But maybe that's the kreitz of how we could read Lehibit Oven B'Yakov, Yaakov, we are only found to be without iniquity when Leira Amal the Yisrael, when we don't start critiquing Yisrael. Leira Amal the Yisrael, when we don't start or speak about fault or judging, etc. But Adarabba, the awe, the reverence, the respect, we bring our children to see a Gadol, to hear a Gadol, a leader, a Eid, whoever it might be a Rav, a Dayan, or a Shiva, an Admar, any one of the Tzaddikim, Meirei V'Rabbeisai, listen to something that Rav Pam, Zeichet Tzadik, the Kodesh Levracha, says. I mentioned it this past week in our pre-Tfilah Shir in the Haftarah. Listen to something that Rav Pam says about this concept. This past week in Haftarah Parshas Chukas, we speak about Yiftach HaGiladi. And Yiftach HaGiladi is somebody who became the acknowledged leader of his generation. Who was Yiftach HaGiladi? Who was he? Why don't you take a look at the first few psukim of last week's Haftarah Parshas Chukas, where it clearly speaks out about Yiftach. He was not a Torah scholar. The Medrash Tanchuma says he wasn't a Ben Torah. The Medrash famously tells us a very sad story. When he was victorious and he returned from battle, he made a very grave error. He vowed he was going to bring as a sacrifice the first thing that emerged from his home. And you know what the first thing was that emerged from his home? You know. What was it? His own daughter. And that resulted in a tragic and complicated halachic dilemma. What is her status due to the improper vow that he made? Yiftach's yichus, his lineage, less than stellar. And he was mistreated by many people. And as I told you, he wasn't a Ben Torah, he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, made a grave error. And yet the Gemara stresses he was the acknowledged leader of his generation. We know the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Chok Hamer Beis, famously tells us that Yiftach b'dayrei kishmuel b'dayrei. Yiftach wasn't like Shmuel, but Yiftach in his generation is like Shmuel in his generation. He's to be treated with honor. He's to be treated with all reverence and respect, even though his level of scholarship and his level of righteousness were on a much lower level than that of Shmuel's. Rabbi Isai, listen to these words. Yiftach b'dayrei kishmuel b'dayrei. And Rav Pam goes on to say this is a grave error that many of us make. A person might say, yes, of course that psak was listened to 100 years ago. It was said by the Chofetz Chaim. It was said by Rav Chaim Eisen. It was said by whichever the Gadol was 50 years ago. But today our Gadolim aren't on that level. Our leaders, they're not on that level. Our Eni Ha'eda, they're not on the level. They don't have the same abilities present day that they had 100 years ago. Terrible. And terrible is not even the word. Yiftach b'dayrei kishmuel b'dayrei. And that's why Yiftach was chosen. He was the leader of that generation. Although so much was different from him than Shmuel on so many levels. But for that generation, he was the leader. Rav Pam goes on to say, an extraordinary pshat. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Tezvav on the day, says about Satan. He's quoted as saying to Hashem, Meir HaVerabais, I listen to this well. Satan is quoted as saying to Hashem, I explored the entire world and I didn't find anyone as loyal as your servant Avraham, Avraham Avinu. Is that the type of comment that you would expect Satan to say? Doesn't that seem like, you know me my whole life. Just about. Doesn't that seem like a complimentary remark coming out of the word of Satan, the mouth of Satan? I explored the whole world and I didn't find anybody as loyal as your servant Avram. That's what Satan says, something seemingly so complimentary. Satan's job is to find fault with people. Rav Tam says so powerfully, maybe the explanation is that this is precisely the characteristic of Satan. What he meant to say when he said, I explored the whole world and didn't find anyone as loyal as Avram, Satan was saying, I'm praising the tzaddikim who have already passed away in order to denigrate and put down lower leaders, present-day leaders, who are of a lower stature. Zucker Palm, that is the classic strategy of Satan, to get people to disparage their leaders, their judges, their chachamim, their tzaddikim, who don't measure up to the great gedolim of earlier times and yesteryear, hundreds of years and generations ago. So that comment of Satan that I haven't found anyone as loyal as Avram, that wasn't a complimentary remark. It was a classic tactic of Satan to make that comment in order to say, there I found somebody loyal and of a high prestigious level. But today, it doesn't exist. It's a way, subtly or not so subtly, to denigrate present-day leaders, and to get us, Chalila, to do the same. And that was the lesson, says Rav Tam of Yiftach. Despite the faults and inadequacies, but he was the leader of that generation. We must honor and respect our leaders. And I want to make something clear. That was Yiftach. Today, we have to make sure, not only for ourselves, but for all those around us, that the awe and reverence, Kvod Chachamim, it's frightening, Rabbi say. Chalila to ever allow Satan to have his tactic impact us. Lo yihibit oven biyakov. When will we merit that Hashem will say about us, Yaakov, lehibit of it, I don't find you to have sin. In other words, I will judge you meritoriously. When? When we make sure, lehra amol b'Yisrael, not to find fault and to start critiquing and to start speaking about our Yisrael, our Gedolim, our Einei Ha'eda, our leaders. I beg all those who are hearing these words, like whether it's here in the Gan Ariel or live or when it's sent out, to make sure that when it comes to our leaders, our Gedolim, Rashi Yeshiva, Chachamim, Rabbanim, Dayanim, our leaders, that we convey the Ava, the Yira, the Awe, the reference, the Kvod Chachamim, the Kvod HaTaira, that our present-day Gedolim, our leaders, deserve. It must be that way. There cannot be any other way, period. And this is something that we have to convey to our families, to our children, to all those who see. As I've said so many times, and I'll say it again, the awe and the reverence about the way we feel about our Gedolim, the way we speak about our leaders, the way we talk about the Yisrael of our generation. And in that schus, may we merit a fulfillment of this second bracha, Lehibit Oven B'Yaakov, that Hashem will not find fault with us, but Adarabba, He'll find us to be meritorious. He will find us to have schusim. We understand the shmira that our Gedolim bring us. And as we begin now the 3 weeks known as Bein HaMetzarim, please let us work on these qualities that the Ezras Hashem we could be zeicha to turn that which is known as Between the Straits, Shavasar to Tisha B'Av, to be days of genuine rejoicing led by our Gedolim, the Chutzos Yerushalayim. Amen. Amen.